So, first we watch the Academy Award winner for Best Picture, Parasite.
Yes.
And now we're watching Academy Award winner Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What is this podcast turning into? I thought it was, it's B-movie mania, not...
A-movie mania, baby.
Glad this bit is happening.
What is happening to the podcast?
It's a movie mania.
Where's Uncle Lloydy? Cue Uncle Lloydy.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
Wait, Paul never said the title of the film.
It's fine.
Oh, okay.
I said The Revenant.
Oh, did you? I didn't hear it.
Yeah, you did.
I said The Revenant, which is actually not the title of this movie. The title of this movie is Modern Vampires, a.k.a. Revenant. Welcome to B-Movie Mania. I'm your host for the evening, Paul A. Brooks. Joining me, per usual, is sensual Chris Hudson.
Hello, wanker!
Seductive Jason Hulls.
Oh, boy.
And someone who just might be the Hollywood slasher, Mike Hayes.
You're a real set, Paul, you know that? No wonder everyone hates you.
Yeah. Sorry about it.
I'm kidding, Paul. I love you.
Love you too, bud.
Aww.
That was a quote from the movie.
What movie?
The
one with the bear.
The Revenant with Leonardo, how did you pronounce it? DiCaprio?
That is how you pronounce it, but the name of the movie is Revenant, not The Revenant. There's some confusion here. You guys kept asking me, what's the name of the movie? Where is it? Like, nobody knew what was going on.
I still don't.
Hey, did you guys know that I used to confuse Leonardo DiCaprio with Casper Van Dien in the 90s?
Chris, in honor of the film Creep Van, which you and I both love.
Oh, yes.
Can we refer to him as Casper Creep Van Dien?
Casper Creep Van Dien.
For the rest of the night.
Creep Van!
Motherfucking Creep Van!
No green slime. No.
Oh.
Although you can buy the t-shirt. It's up now on store.bmania.
It's so good. By the way, that t-shirt is so fucking great.
It looks awesome.
Hell yeah. Dude. Original design by Cara Brooks.
Yeah, I was going to ask who did that. That's so good. She's so talented.
Crankin' rankin'.
We are getting way ahead of ourselves.
Wait, no, I thought this was the quickest episode ever. We're doing plugs.
Yeah, we're done.
Leave us a review. 5 stars on your favorite podcasting service. Thank you. Good night.
We watched Modern Vampires. That's what I choose to refer to it as, because I don't like the title Revenant.
It's
not
a better
much
title.
To it.
Modern Vampires is a better title for this.
It's easier to find that way, too. Like, on IMDb, it's called Modern Vampires. On Wikipedia, it's called that. The only reason Revenant, it's like on Amazon as Revenant, and then I guess that was the original working title.
Huh.
And you gotta love it. Anytime a movie has a working title throughout its existence, like, they just can't fucking pick. You know it's gonna be good. Any movie that has more than one title is gonna be quality.
I think Creep Van Dien uploaded The Revenant himself, and he's the only one who liked that better than Modern Vampires, and that's why it's called that.
It's probably got that spin just because of the Academy Award-winning film. Like, that's probably the reason. Mm-hmm. We used to call it that. Let's do it. You know?
Right.
So it's a real Parasite sort of situation.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to believe Tom Hardy is a big, nasty-looking thing on the cover. Sure.
Yeah. Guys, if we when we finish the movie we're all working on, why don't we right now decide to call it Casablanca, and we'll change it to what we're going to call it. But that way, you know,
sounds good.
Yeah.
We could just change the name later.
See, I was hoping for Citizen Kane.
Well, we could do Citizen Kane's. So it's just,
Citizen
Kane's. Like, there's multiple of them.
Like Alien and Aliens?
Right. People don't know if there's multiple Citizen Kanes.
See Orson Welles bursting out of your chest.
Citizen Kane's.
Okay, we got to get back on track here. Modern Vampires, 1998. I guess this is what IMDb said. TV movie.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is up with that.
I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe like a Showtime or Cinemax or something.
Yeah.
Had to have been. There's no way that was for anything else.
Right. I don't know what sort of television network would allow Creep Van Dien to be on their screen for that long.
Hey, now I like Creep Van Dien.
We like one movie he was in, and honestly, he's not the reason that movie was good.
If you're talking about Starship Troopers, you're absolutely right. I saw it in the theater 8 times. I also looked at Creep Van Dien's... Oh, God.
If I contribute nothing else to the episode tonight, let it be Creep Van Dien.
Well, now someone has to pick Creep Van for the show.
I mean, fans of this podcast know Creep Van.
I looked at his IMDb, and he did Starship Troopers, and then the very next movie listed on his IMDb is Modern Vampires.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a real step up, if you ask me.
Yeah. But anyway, this is a movie that was directed by the great Richard Elfman, who we've reviewed on the show before, and who we've had in our marathon for Forbidden Zone, and he did... Shrunken Heads, which we did for our Halloween special last year. So we really like Richard Elfman. Jay, would you mind going to IMDb and reading the plot synopsis of this movie? Because it's one of my favorite descriptions that I've heard in a long time.
Sure.
So you're going to make IMDb do our job for us?
It's standard protocol, Chris.
Oh.
Modern Vampires. Here we go.
I have this thing going on with my voice where, since I'm in quarantine, I don't talk at all. I'm by myself. I don't have anyone to talk to, so I feel like my throat closes up and I can't. If I sound a little raspy tonight.
So what he's saying is that listeners, Paul really needs a friend to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's do a Zoom or something. You know.
All right, I got the outline.
Yeah, here. Hit me.
A borderline fascistic Dr. Van Helsing unwittingly hires crack-smoking gangbangers to pursue the decadent vampires who secretly control Hollywood in the United States.
There it is.
That's a pretty fair description.
No, it's not.
Well, it's but he doesn't unwittingly hire crack-smoking gangbangers.
Okay,
knows that he's hiring.
We'll get to it.
I don't know
it.
If they smoke crack.
We'll get
they
to it.
They don't smoke crack. They, as far as we can tell, they don't run the United States either. I'm sorry, Paul. And you know what? No, you know what? The vampires are decadent. They are decadent, Paul. I'm sorry. They are decadent.
Well, you know what? You know what, Mike? Quick takes.
Quick takes.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
No, that's rating time, Chris.
Oh, is that the wrong one? Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I haven't listened to the show in a while. I don't commute anymore, so I don't listen to any podcasts.
Chris Hudson, quick take.
I was holding my opinion of this movie pretty close to my chest tonight, but now it's all... I got to let it all out of the bag.
Do it.
I love this movie as much as Nico loves Natasha Lyonne. As much as Craig Ferguson loves nightclubs full of chained up people solely there for his bloody pleasure. And I love this movie... nearly as much as Mike Hayes loves Bluetooth headphones.
Spoiler alert, that's a lot.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Okay.
Mike Hayes.
I never knew vampires can do sex.
Of course.
They can.
Yeah.
They can, yeah. They can go for hours.
Never knew it. Never knew vampires can do sex.
They do it real good. Okay, Jason Hulse, quick take.
You know all those sounds, the cougar sounds that Nico makes when she attacks the woman in the dress shop? Just, Paul, just add all those sounds.
No, not all of them.
Not all of them. Just a good handful of those cougar sounds.
Oh, go on. Kill the fucking bitch. Go on. Rip her fucking lungs out. Come on, you little rascal.
Yeah, or Chris, yeah, you could do it, Chris. That's fine. Close enough.
So, Casper Van Dien plays a vampire named Dallas, And he's a cool dude. He's got, you know, the typical fang teeth and all that. He drives a cool car.
He drives Richard Elfman's car.
That's true.
Is that a car fact?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Car facts.
Car facts.
God damn it.
Wow. Someone else got in before I could. Good job.
I'll allow it only because I already have the, you know, audio blip for it, so that's fine. But I wanted to point out that when I looked at his IMDb, he is still doing an absolute ton of movies. And his next one, it's in post-production right now, but it's called Roach.
Oh, dude, I saw that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you're not going to see Roach. Come on. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
That has got to be like some Sci-Fi Channel bullshit.
Creep Van Dien in a movie called Roach. I'm there.
And we also have in this film Natasha Gregson Wagner, plays Nico. I'm sorry, but she is skanky in this movie, and I absolutely love it.
Okay. All right.
It's great.
I was like, I know I've seen her, and you've seen her everywhere. She's been in a lot of stuff, but maybe my favorite is Lost Highway.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the famous daughter of Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood. She's doing her own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she poses in the film. Her character poses as a prostitute in order to feed on guys. You know, she's a vampire. And then during the day, I guess she lives in some sort of abandoned tanker truck.
She lives in a tanker.
That's pretty clever, though. I thought that was kind of cool.
Hey, Paul, can you edit in I guess a condom is in order here.
Dude, that's one of the funniest lines in the movie.
I think maybe a condom's in order here, huh?
John picks her up. They drive off to some abandoned area. Nico turns on the
Slade Craven.
She turns on some heavy metal. She's thrashing out. She's really into it. They drive to a secluded area.
Buy her t-shirt.
Making a little small talk. This guy is the most awkward guy ever. And Nico just like hisses at him. Just, that's a great response. When you're talking to your prostitute, you want her to hiss at you. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, to be fair, I think any sex worker will probably actually require a condom, you know, for safety's sake. But just anyone out there.
Yeah.
Use a condom. Use it. Safety first.
Right. Especially if they hiss at you.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing to point out here early on, their vampire teeth stay in place permanently. You know how some vampires, the vampire teeth, like, come out when they're ready to feed?
Yeah.
They always have the vampire teeth, and nobody really seems to care all that much.
Yeah, no. Well, one thing I really liked about this is that the length of their vampire teeth kind of indicates how old they are.
Hmm.
So
yeah.
Nico's teeth aren't that long, so she's only been a vampire for, like, 20, 25 years.
She's a baby.
How old are you?
I don't know.
Look at this, Richard. What do you think?
Oh, they're cute little things. I say she's been with us 20, 25
you
years.
You mind get your fucking fingers out of my mouth?
Yeah, the cast of this movie is just crazy. The people they have in this.
To be fair, Craig Ferguson is fucking awesome in this movie.
Yes. Well, it's a great cast. I mean, we also got Kim Cattrall, who plays a vampire. Her name is... Ulrike or something like that. I don't know.
Ulrika or something?
Yeah. Ulrike.
Yeah, I don't know.
Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah.
Udo Kier.
Udo Kier. Yeah. And Kim, when we first see Kim here, she is hanging out with Craig Ferguson, Craig Ferguson?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mike, I get him confused with Craig Kilborn.
Both late night
Craig Ferguson, I believe, took over the Craig Kilborn spot when he failed at late night.
Right.
But hey, letting Craig Kilborn fail at late night let Jon Stewart succeed at The Daily Show.
Yeah,
it's true.
There it is. But Craig Ferguson is also a vampire named Richard. And so these are sort of, you know, the titular modern vampires. And they all secretly run Hollywood together, along with, of course, Count Dracula himself, who's played by Robert Pastorelli.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, I'm not very familiar with, but that's okay.
I know the name, yeah. I can't. I Couldn't remember what he was in.
You know, if I may, I kind of feel like there was a missed opportunity. If you've got Udo in your movie, dude, he should have been the main vampire. Mm. Like, he should have been Dracula.
I don't think he's in movies where he doesn't play vampires.
I think you're right.
But the Count is not happy with Nico, Chris. She's a little out of control, and the cops actually have a name for her. What's the name they got for her?
She's the Hollywood slasher.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Dracula is not happy because she is not an approved vampire in his city, which, Chris, reminds me a little bit of when we used to play Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got all kinds of shades of Vampire the Masquerade from this.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody involved in the movie was familiar with the game.
I mean, yeah, I can't imagine they weren't.
Yeah, because the whole society structure is reminiscent of the game.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was interesting.
Hmm.
It's interesting how we talk about how Nico is an unapproved vampire, according to Count Dracula, which really lays into the classism, but also about racial divide and stuff like that. And then nationalism, okay. Really. It really gets into a bit of a nationalistic situation.
Where
the vampires are their own thing. They don't want someone else coming in without them, unless they are allowed in legally, kind of a thing, which really culminates with the line that Chris Hudson already announced where Nico shouts, "I'm an American citizen, I can do what I want, blah blah blah." She goes on a bit of a tirade about that, and that's when you really connect with her.
Oh, I should leave the country? Well, I got news for you. I'm an American citizen, and no fucking foreign bag of shit's gonna run me out of my own goddamn country.
Yeah, you know, Creep Van Dien really needs to watch who he hangs around and who he turns into vampires. You know, he just seems like he created this it doesn't really say. You just assume that he's in love with this girl, and he makes her into a vampire, which doesn't really come out till the end of the movie, spoiler alert, but you know, it's like, really? I mean, listen to her. Why would you turn her into a vampire?
Think about this a little bit. He made her into a vampire. He probably listened to her then, and then he abandons her for 30 years.
Which, again, why? We don't know.
I want to help you.
Yeah, right. You don't even know me.
I know there's a whole bunch of bad characters out there ready to kill you.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to make them wish they was never born.
She has amnesia in the film and doesn't remember how she became a vampire or even her past at all. And they don't really go into why that is.
You know, I've got a theory on that. I bet she got really blackout drunk and only just recently kind of came out of her hangover.
It could be.
She woke up in that tanker and crawled out. Just, what is this?
How did I get here?
She fell into a tanker of wine, drank it for 30 years, and then
came out as a Trumper.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Van Helsing rolls into town. Rod Stewart rolls into town.
If you think I'm sexy and you want my body.
And he's here to kill some vampires.
It's some kind of an establishment. I don't know, maybe a club or something. Evidently it's popular. I don't know, but there are many. It's an infestation.
I gotta pee really bad, and I feel like this is a good place to describe this vampire nightclub. The three of you talk amongst yourselves and give the listeners a feel for this club that they're at.
Can I just say, I feel like this is the scene. This scene is why Paul picked this movie.
Oh, totally. But I mean, the best way I can describe this is that Craig Ferguson loves this club as much as I love this movie.
I'm picking up on the fact that we are going to get wildly different scores.
Wow. This is what awesome. Did you just say, Hudson? That you love this movie as much as Craig Ferguson loves this club?
Okay, well, I mean, I'm getting a little out of hand there, but almost.
No,
Chris. Stand your fucking ground, dude.
I like this. I like this a lot.
Well, we'll find out when the ratings come
Listen,
in.
Listen, our ratings are going to be wildly different, but we can all come together about one thing, and we do know that this is why Paul picked this movie.
Definitely.
Oh, there are tits everywhere.
It's an S&M club, like, to the max, where all the vampires are feeding on the naked people. There's tons of naked people everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are chained up. What about that table with the head, like where head sticks out?
That guy is a lawyer. He's an attorney, and you can't do this to him.
No, I'm an attorney. You see? You can't do this!
But the Count decides to, like, cut his head open anyway with a saw and suck the blood out. Did you guys notice the band? This club is so decadent, the keyboard player of the band, fully clothed, is air humping his keyboard.
I did not notice that.
Hello, Count. It's been a long time.
What do you want, my lovely city?
Well, I'm just here on a visit.
Visit? I'll give you 3 days to enjoy the city and see the sights.
Creep Van Dien, that's how you say it. Creep yeah, Van Dien.
Creep Van Dien.
Creep Van Van Dien.
See, now he sounds like a breakfast sausage.
Wow, I'd love a sausage. Walks up to the Count, and they talk. And the Count is like, he doesn't want him there. But he's like, fine, you can stay for 3 days, see the city, and then go. Like, it seems totally fine.
To be honest, the Count seems pretty fair about stuff.
Reasonable.
He doesn't seem like a bad guy.
Right. I mean, I don't think you ascend to the heights of the Hollywood scene without being at least, you know, willing to be a little cool now and then.
Yeah. I don't know Creep Van Dien's problem. If someone said, hey, you can come to L.A. for 3 days, then you got to go. I'm like, that's all I fucking want because fuck that hellhole. Like, yes, perfect. This is what I want.
I have a question. Van Helsing is right outside in plain sight of this vampire club talking into his little tape recorder. And it's this not even the first time in the movie where I'm wondering just like, how is this guy alive? He's so inept as a vampire hunter. It's ridiculous.
Well, he's very old. He has a heart condition.
He has a heart condition. He's 90 years old. He's an ex-Nazi. And he's standing there right by the door talking into his recorder about how he hates vampires.
He needs some help dealing with this infestation. So he places an ad in the newspaper. And Jay, who answers the ad for the job?
Time bomb!
My name is Dr. Van Helsing.
Yeah, people call me Time Bomb.
Hell yeah.
Best character in the movie.
Describe Time Bomb, please.
He's a gangster crip.
Hell yeah.
Paul, do you recognize Time Bomb?
You know, I looked him up. I didn't recognize his name or know him from anything else, no.
Oh, Paul, you know him from something.
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, little episode of Silk Stockings called Glory Days. Oh, Paul, he plays an up-and-coming basketball star. Oh, my goodness, Paul. It is USA up all night.
10 seasons of Silk Stockings. I might have missed that one.
Did the show run that long?
Yeah, dude. Silk Stockings was on a long time.
Oh, my God.
It was literally up all night and then the next morning.
Oh, God.
That was a pretty sexy show.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. When I was 13?
I mean, if you like stockings.
Well, yeah. Oh. I like stockings almost as much as I like that vampire club.
We can go back and talk more about the club if you want.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I mean, you've got people in cages, and Craig Ferguson is just running around from person to person, just like, he can't. He cannot settle on just one victim. He is sucking the blood from this girl, this guy, that guy, this girl, this girl, this girl. I mean, just leading them out, just, he is sucking the blood off of, like, everyone. He's got a...
Holding him down and sucking him dry.
The club is a buffet there for Craig Ferguson's pleasure. It's amazing. So great.
So, folks, let's take a break right here and learn about an exciting new product from our sponsor, Night Beast Industries. What's so funny? They pay for the show.
Hey, we get it. You're a hip, young, successful business person who just wants to have a good night when the sun goes down. And now that America has reopened and everything is completely safe, you're ready to hit the town and get a little wild. There's just one problem. Vampires. They're waiting inside every dance club, every clothing store, and every Quiznos to pounce on you and instantly drain your delicious life juice. If only there was a way to keep those blood-sucking freaks away from your gorgeous neck. Well, now there is! With Night Beast Industries' new product, Blood Be Gone. Simply extract all of your blood with our patented blood removal device. As that precious crimson liquid leaves your body, it's replaced with Blood Be Gone, a blood simulation fluid that not only keeps you alive for up to 3 hours, it also tastes terrible to those dark creatures of the night. If any vampire tries to leap on you like a cracked out cougar and go to Sucktown, they're in for a nasty blood begone surprise. Now you can hit the club and grind on some booty without fear of having your cranium sawed wide open as part of a blood buffet for some out of touch immortal asswipe. Go to bit.ly/nightbeast today to order your 2-liter bottle of Blood Begone. Blood Begone. Let the vampires know they suck.
So Van Helsing and Time Bomb, which I just love saying.
Paul, it gives me a real flashback to Snake Eater 2, The Drug Buster,
yes.
Where we got Sidekick Speedboat.
They break into one of the vampire houses during the day, and they find Vincent.
Udo Kier.
Yeah, Udo.
Yep. And they're about to kill him, but Time Bomb is worried because he's on probation.
Hey, he can't fuck that up.
No. Chris, what happens here?
Oh, well, Van Helsing. Yeah, again, I don't really know how he's a vampire hunter because he makes Time Bomb kill Vincent. And he hands him the stake. Time Bomb doesn't want to do it. But
screams at him.
So, yeah, he screams at him and Time Bomb just stakes him. And then Van Helsing makes him cut off his head. Oh, man, this Time Bomb was not prepared for this, but
yeah.
He's a trooper. He does it anyway. Because
I mean, not after he hammers the shit out of him, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't just cut his head off.
One thing that's different about this movie, too, is that like it takes a long time to get the stake in. Like, you don't just pop the stake in there and the vampire's done. You got to hammer away at it.
Hammer away at him with
time.
Comical sound effects.
Yeah.
Dallas finds Nico wandering around Hollywood, actually on Hollywood Boulevard. They start doing kinky vampire shit, like right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
Where is it? Where are they, Paul?
They are on Hollywood Boulevard, right across the street from the Hollywood Roosevelt, which I hung out at a lot when I first moved here.
Oh, yeah. Because she has amnesia.
And she's prostituting.
She's hooking.
She's hooking.
Yeah, she's getting that money.
Yeah.
She's looking to suck.
Well, in more ways than one.
No, I think only the one way.
Okay,
actually.
Yeah. You're right.
Nearly 20 years ago, there was this vampire, and he wanted revenge, and he chose the most heinous and cowardly way, you know, to do it.
It's like, I don't know, 1 a.m, and Van Helsing and Time Bomb are at the motel just smoking and drinking vodka together. And this is where we get some backstory, Chris, about Van Helsing's son.
Yeah. So his son was turned into a vampire. And I think we find out that Dallas is the one who did it.
Yeah. But Dallas brings Nico to the vampire house. Kim Cattrall and Craig Ferguson give her a bath. I don't know if anybody wants to comment about that or not.
Well, it's here we found out that Nico died in those rags.
I did not catch that.
Well, I think it was just a throwaway line, but I like to believe that it's true.
The other throwaway line I enjoyed was, okay, my little icky poo, now I clean you for real.
Oh. Since we're talking throwaways, and while I do feel every line was a throwaway in this film, there was a thing way earlier that I just want to say, some woman about some guy she's about to munch on goes, aren't you a plump little mister?
Oh, yeah, that's at the beginning.
And I fucking loved it. Anyway, continue on. Bath scene.
Well, the bath scene, I also loved that they're scrubbing her down with fucking Comet.
There's Comet prominently placed in the scene like they were some sort, like it was product placement or something.
Yeah. Okay, my little icky boo. Now I clean you for real.
Well, Van Helsing and Time Bomb track Dallas and Nico to her lovely tanker truck, and Nico, who had procured a gun earlier in the film, pops out and starts shooting at them. A little bit of a scare for Van Helsing and Time Bomb. So Time Bomb gets the idea that they need to bring in some reinforcements, which they do in the form of Soda Pop, Lil Monster, and Trigger, who are all Los Angeles Crips.
Yeah, the crew.
Setting the stage for the historic Crips versus Vampires fight later in the movie.
And they don't believe a word that Van Helsing is saying. They are joking around constantly. They think this whole thing is stupid.
They're just drinking, getting high in the back of Van Helsing's creep van.
Hey, man, we gotta have some sounds before we party, so why don't you just get with it?
Party? What are you talking about, party? You understand what I'm talking about? People who live off human blood. I'm talking about people who destroy things. I'm talking about bad, bad people. Talking about us, right?
And then, Chris, you alluded to this a second ago. Dallas and Nico have some hot vampire sex.
Paul, I am convinced that this scene is the reason you picked this movie.
You know what? You're not wrong.
Oh, Jay, you think Paul likes the Casper Van buttocks?
We see Casper's full ass right here. It's not bad. Yep. I'm not going to lie.
It's got some good cheeks.
No.
Well, there's a part where Richard Elfman says to Nico, says...
Richard Elfman?
Yeah, the director.
You're speaking as the director.
As the director.
Oh, okay, like BTS. What does he say?
Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Okay. Richard Elfman says to Nico, you know, hey, rise up off of Casper's body here and just kind of hiss around for a bit. Then go back in for more.
And mind you, she's completely naked at this part, so you get a full like topless shot of her just hissing for like
and this is
seconds.
Where right afterwards the woman who's been posing as a prostitute then says, "I never knew vampires can do sex." And it is utterly baffling, and I loved every second of it.
I never knew vampires could do sex.
Well, that's a myth. With a good commercial lubricant, we could go for hours.
She's only been posing as a prostitute. She hasn't been following through with the prostitute.
Very true.
She's still coming, and you know that because no one's brought this up. The fucking noises she makes when she's sucking that neck. She is fucking coming the whole time.
Hell yeah.
Mike, if you were to follow the rules of Vampire the Masquerade, I believe the bite for the vampire is supposed to be orgasmic.
Really? Well, she's the only one. No one else in this film seems to.
No, that's every vampire movie ever.
Well, Chris, am I wrong?
Every vampire movie after Anne Rice's Vampires, which were influenced Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, yeah, no doubt influenced by that. But the what she does, everyone else... And every other movie I've seen enjoy the sucking. But she is... Listen, guys, I don't know if you've heard of this Pornhub.com website, but...
What?
Let me tell you, it reminded me a lot of the noises I've heard on that website. Every time she's sucking neck, it is...
When you look up vampire porn?
Yeah, or any porn.
Well, Jay, let's just say Mike is holding him down and sucking him dry. Oh.
You like it, don't you?
Yes.
And then they meet up with the other vampires at Insomnia Cafe, which is down on Beverly Boulevard. You guys know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah, right next to the Gorn Rock, right?
No, very far from Gorn Rock.
You go to Universal City Walk, cross down a couple blocks, right?
No.
No?
Oh. No. It's farther south.
I know what you're trying to do.
By the Grove?
It's fairly close to the Grove, Mike.
Is it near Disneyland?
It's an hour away from Disneyland. Oh,
okay. Is it near the Sea of Wet Shit?
could be. But
hey guys, real quick, I'm sorry to divulge this, but there's a California Pizza Kitchen at the Grove that is so fucking good.
Oh well, there's a couple around. You don't got to go to the Grove for that.
Oh, I thought it was a thing.
You can go head up to if you're in Sherman Oaks, you can head up the one next to the Jamba Juice at Ventura Boulevard and I don't know that lady from Pumpkinhead. The main actress from Pumpkinhead.
Christina Ricci?
Has a studio there. No.
No, Pumpkinhead.
What?
That's the main... Oh, I'm thinking of Pumpkin. the late 90s, early 2000s indie flick.
Pumpkin. Oh my God, Paul, this is why you complain about having to edit so much.
Are you thinking of Pecker, Mike?
No, I'm thinking of Pumpkin. No peeking in the Pumpkin. No peeking in the pelt room, Pecker.
Hey, we're recording this on John Waters' birthday, actually, so.
Are we really?
Yeah, today. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Paul, for the California bit.
Where the fuck am I?
Jamba Juice. I mean, the coffee shop, which has my favorite line of the entire movie coming
Okay,
up.
Well, this is where Nico runs into Natasha Lyonne in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Instantly, they instantly become friends.
Well, they're both named Natasha.
That's true. It makes sense.
So, yeah.
But I mean, it's fair to say though that Natasha Lyonne plays Natasha Lyonne in this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Natasha Gregson Wagner might be playing Natasha Gregson Wagner too. We don't know.
Probably. Yeah, we don't know.
I am so into it.
Would you ever want to go out together sometime?
Exchange numbers.
Okay.
The Count shows up and sees Nico, I think, for the first time here.
Yeah.
And Nico calls him a bag of shit.
And a fuckwad.
Yes, a fuckwad. Bring it back. Hashtag fuckwad. Bring it back.
Chris, what was your favorite line of this scene?
Craig Ferguson's character and his wife are picking up this author talking about Steven Seagal. And as they're walking out after their confrontation with the Count, he says, "You're not gay?" And Ferguson says, No, just by curious.
Jealous?
No, I'm not jealous.
You're not gay.
No, just by curious.
It's a lot better just delivered in his line. It's just such a small little, like, not even the focus of the scene, just a stupid little line, just throwaway line, that this movie is filled with stuff like that. I just love these throwaway lines.
And I think a lot of it is because of the caliber of the cast. Like, yeah. The whole time I'm like, what are all these people doing in this?
I know. Oh my God, they're all so great.
Do you have any idea what you just did? I'm talking to you.
Oh, screw that piece of shit.
Dallas, you have to get the girl and leave the country tonight.
I'm sorry, we should get out of here.
So once again, the Count is being cool about things, and people are going into his area, messing with him, and then getting mad that he's getting mad.
So far I'm on the Count side.
Yeah, oh yeah, without a doubt.
Well, and then we get this scene here where Dallas takes Nico to her mom's trailer.
God.
Apparently, you know, they haven't seen each other in 20 years since Nico turned into a vampire. They just think that she ran away, basically.
Mm-hmm. This is so terrible.
Jay, happens inside the trailer here?
Well, okay, so she hasn't seen anybody in 20 years. She goes in, immediately accuses the stepdad of molestation, so he's a creep.
Miss, our Nico ran off more than 20 years ago.
You're saying you can't remember my face? Well, you ought to after doing all that sex shit to me when I was little.
I was like, why is Dallas or Creep Van Dien doing this? And the only thing I can think of is that I think he's trying to create a situation around her where she only depends on him.
Mm.
He is trying to control Nico, and this is one step of doing it, isolating her from her family.
You're saying he's grooming her. That's fucked up.
I think he's grooming her. Absolutely.
Yeah, it took him fucking 30 years, but
yeah,
finally.
And he lost her for 30 years, but I think that's what he's doing. And pretty much nothing happens. Nico, or fucking Creep Van snaps the dude's neck.
Kills her stepdad.
Mm-hmm. Her stepdad. The mom starts screaming. They leave, and they never mention it again.
But it does set up a climactic battle.
Well, it does, and I think that's the only reason the scene exists, to be honest.
There's a huge shootout between Nico and Dallas and the Count's henchmen. Somehow I tracked them there, I guess.
Dude, this might be my favorite scene.
Yeah, there's a fucking amazing stunt in this scene.
When they are hiding and the goons are walking around with shotguns, Nico just does this righteous jump, like 30 feet.
It's awesome.
Boom.
It's
just
awesome.
Kills one of them, tosses Creep Van a shotgun. He jumps off of a roof blasting.
Oh, it's so great.
It's sweet. And maybe my favorite line is when they set the I don't know what you want to call him, like the Dracula's main dude, They set him on fire and walk away. And you're like, okay, he's dead, right?
Yeah.
But he starts screaming, it's hot, it's hot. And he grabs a garden hose and starts trying to put himself out.
I love that. Oh, God.
Oh, that was such a great part. I love it.
And that was, you know, it's 1998, clearly all practical. Yeah. They must have been doing some wire work or something.
Yeah, something.
Well, yeah, look, yeah, for sure.
It looked great.
It did.
I'm actually, I'm on the IMDb page here under the trivia, and it says that Nico's stunt double was actually, let me see here, what does this say? Played by P-56?
I don't.
P-56?
What?
The California mountain lion? P-56?
No, yeah. See, I felt a bit coming.
What?
You can just tell sometimes.
Mike, I think that was her voice double, not her stunt double.
I heard it was Jean-Claude Van Damme, but he was fired from the project at one point in time.
Listen, you find anyone else that can jump that far with that form and have that awesome of a voice. It was fucking P-56 the whole time.
You know, like we kind of alluded to, the Crips aren't really taking any of this seriously.
Wait, we're gonna skip the whole paint huffing scene.
Yes.
Oh jeez.
Yeah.
But
good.
They go inside the house, Mike. What happens? I'm gonna go pee. Can you help me out here?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it. Go ahead, buddy. Go take all a right. pee. Okay, so guys, so now that Paul's gone, I just want to tell you about the 2006 film Bloods vs. Wolves, which is actually a turf war film about the Bloods, who are vampires, and the Wolves, which are werewolves. So it's technically kind of like a Crips Bloods vampire film. The Crips aren't in it. There's werewolves instead.
Do the Wolves wear blue?
You know they don't.
I don't see that. I just see a cover, but the Bloods are wearing red. And then on the cover, there's a vampire, or not a vampire, a werewolf guy. All so
right. Unless they've got the colors right, it is not a valid allegory.
Wow. I didn't realize you were...
He's a gangster historian.
A gangster historian. All right.
I've done a little research.
He likes accuracy with his gang warfare.
I'm just saying, if you're going to do something, do it right. That's all I'm saying.
So anyway, guys, Paul put me in charge of this. So let me get back into this here. My notes next just say Christopher Walken's head, and I hope someone can tell me what that means.
I don't know what that means.
They find Udo's head.
Oh, Udo's head. Yeah,
Kim Cattrall
yeah.
finds Udo's head, and they're all sad because he died.
Okay.
I went to his house. I found him in the bed.
This is definitely the work of Van Helsing.
Bad Dr. Van Helsing. You should have killed him when you had the chance.
They light that really super posh prick on fire, and he gets lit on fire, that vampire, and he just goes, blimey! And it is very good
all right,
that he does say that.
Where'd we leave off?
Well, we also left off where Van Helsing says, and put this in, Paul. He says, what do you say in your language? Chill it, chill it.
Hey, Van Hoser, whatever your name is, man, we're going to drop you off at the car wash and get your hair waxed.
What did you say in your language? Chill it! Chill it!
Yeah, they're supposed to wait to go attack the vampires, and the Crips are like, and they just jump out of the van and charge the place.
Okay. But what happens when they get inside? I mean, some shit goes down in here because, like, Craig Ferguson and everybody's just sitting there chilling.
They're doing heroin.
They are?
Yeah.
There's a heroin girl there, and they're both draining her blood.
Wow.
Although I will say that Kim Cattrall did a little massaging of the boobies of the heroin girl. She didn't need to do that. She is going the extra mile.
Well, she's a professional.
They need to call HR for that heroin den because that was unacceptable.
So they kill Craig Ferguson and his wife.
They do. It's sad.
Then for some reason, the Crips tie Kim Cattrall down to a bed.
Okay, Paul, I am convinced this scene is why you picked this movie.
You are correct. I am like, what the fuck is happening? It's on.
Oh God!
I don't. Who wants to take this? It's
Paul. Why don't you take this? Because this is the reason you picked the film.
This is your reason for picking.
You
Paul.
You take your sin and you talk about it.
Lay it on us.
Kim Cattrall is tied down to the bed, and she just goes, Can I just put the clip in here, or do I have to
talk about it? No, you have to say it.
You have to say it,
Say your sin.
Yeah.
Say it.
You can put the clip in later, but I want to hear you say it.
Yeah,
we're going to put this in cut for time.
She sees these four guys, and she's like, why don't you, you know, have your way with me? Why don't you give it to me? And they're like, she wants us to fuck her. And I don't want to say it. They do.
You'll try it.
She wants us to fuck her. Hit it, man.
Give it to her.
Give it to her.
So try it.
Give it to her.
You'll try it.
Hit it.
Please.
And then she transforms into this nasty, like, nasty monster-looking thing. Still tied to the bed. And the guys are still like, yeah, I'll still do it.
The only reason I think that this happened is because Kim Cattrall read the script and she said, absolutely fucking not. I am not getting gangbanged on this bed in this fucking TV vampire movie. And so they had to get somebody else in the makeup in order to be able to do the scene.
Well,
sound right?
Yeah.
Could be.
No, that sounds 100% right.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
But we don't know that she wasn't the one under the makeup, do we? I don't remember.
Well, I mean, it was a mask. There was no way to tell who was under it. There's no reason to have done it. It wasn't her.
It could have been easily somebody
else.
It
sounded like Kim Cattrall.
Well, I'm sure she did some ADR.
Movie magic.
The insanity of how things work. George Lucas must have been involved. So my notes next just say Van Helsing with no punctuation, and I don't know what that means.
Can I bring it back to the sex scene that Time Bomb is totally,
I would prefer not
totally,
to. Yeah, we need more.
Time Bomb is totally disgusted by what his friends are doing, but he's going to have his turn anyway. Why not?
Yeah, he does. He's like, okay, fine.
Peer pressure is a dangerous drug.
It's a cautionary tale, Chris.
It's a cautionary tale of sexually transmitted vampirism.
Diseases.
Diseases.
And
I told my kids about a cautionary tale of swords today. I think I'm going to watch it with them.
Yes.
Like literally 2 hours ago, I was talking about
fucking
cautionary tales of swords.
Cut you wide open.
They'll fucking slice a baby in two. So they end up in Creep Van's Creep Van at this point, right?
It's Creep Van Dien's Creep Van.
Yeah, very meta. Creep Van in a Creep Van. It was sweet. Hey, and do you guys remember that Natasha Lyonne's in this movie? Because she's here too, after being shot in the stomach.
Yeah, I don't know why they're bringing her along, but okay. Right,
well,
yeah.
Because she's not on Pee-wee's Playhouse anymore. That's why they brought her along.
She was not in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
She fucking was.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
she
yeah.
She played Pee-wee.
Everybody was in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Who?
Oh, I did my research, Paul. Natasha Lyonne was in Pee-wee's Playhouse. Jimmy Smits.
Well, everyone knows that.
He's not in this movie.
Paul Rubens was in fucking
Paul Rubens was in Pee-wee's
Thank
Playhouse.
You for giving us the entire cast of Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Christ. All right. We're moving on. We're moving on.
So in Creep Van's Creep Van, the gang members then start feeling ill. They're like, oh no, we feel bad, we have headaches, our tummies hurt. And then it turns out they're becoming vampires because they had sex with that fucking rubber doll that was on the bed.
And Natasha's in the corner going, guys, I'm still here in the movie.
And we're like, why?
She bleeds out for, it has to be hours.
Yeah.
Dallas makes a deal with Van Helsing, Jay.
Who?
Dallas, Creep Van Dien.
Oh, thank you.
What's the sort of agreement that they come to here?
Oh, dude, this is like the one part I didn't write down.
Anybody else?
I have written down Van Helsing with no punctuations.
It doesn't matter. They try to get into Dracula's, and the goons, Dracula's goons, walk straight up to Van Helsing, and they're like, okay, come with us now. There's no struggle. It's terrible. And the fight is terrible.
Yeah, I feel like as the movie goes on, the sort of like care put into it kind of goes out the window.
Oh, yeah, none. They throw Nico in a trunk like she's nothing. It's simple. And then they go to the club. It all culminates back at the sex club.
Yeah.
Yes.
They get everybody. The plan goes off the rails, basically. And like Nico gets hooked up to this blood machine or something. And Chris, what happens to Van Helsing here? This is crucial.
Well, I mentioned earlier that there was that attorney who got put in the table, his head just sticking out of the hole in the center of the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens to Van Helsing. He becomes the bald guy in the middle of the table, ready for the count to take his cranial
saw.
Skull saw. I'm not a doctor. I don't know the technical term. And ready to be sawn open and his brain eaten and blood drunk.
They should have just plunged some straws into his head.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Would have maybe put an umbrella in there. Would have been perfect.
So our main course this evening, the illustrious and distinguished,
yours, fine one,
Dr. Frederick Van Helsing.
So they're drinking Nico's blood.
Yes, they're drinking the vampire's blood in the club.
Oh, and they're also senators.
There's governor-elect, the senators. Creep Van Dien drives the creep van into the club.
They bust in fucking hard ticket to Hawaii style. So, and the Crips get out of the van and they just light the place up. It is bonkers.
This is one of those parts, Paul, where I feel like it exemplifies what you said a minute ago, where they just kind of stop caring about putting the movie together. Everyone's wildly shooting.
Hold on. Everyone shut up for a second.
What about my clinkies?
Jay, you just said it feels like this is where things started falling apart, where people stopped caring.
Yeah.
I fucking dare you to tell me at any other point in this goddamn movie where anyone gave a fuck about what happened. Fucking,
I can do that.
Matthew Bright, the longtime collaborator with Richard Elfman, fucking just fucking shat this one out. I don't know what the shit happened here. They got a paycheck, $2 million budget. They pocketed 1.5. And good for them. Good for them. But at no fucking point did anyone give a shit about the plot or shit about anything fucking else in this film. Rant over.
Oh, God damn it. Well, then.
You really should just use that for... That should be your review.
Oh, I got more for the review.
Okay, all
right. So basically, let's see if we can get through this here. They drive a stake through Count Dracula's heart. It doesn't work because he's like boss level, right? I mean, it takes more than that.
Yeah.
So they're like out in the alley or something, all the Crips, driving like 84 stakes into him all over his body. He's just taking it. Honestly, I stopped taking notes at this point because I'm just, I don't know what's happening. At some point, they just set him on fire, I guess?
Yeah,
pretty much.
That's what he told them. Van Helsing, or someone told them to do it to the other guy.
Not Van Dien, well, not Van Helsing.
No, yeah, someone said, you gotta... What is it? Stake him, cut his... Wait, light him on fire, cut his head off, stake him, or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, but this is the thing, too. This is what sucks, is that, like, it wasn't Creep Van versus Dracula like it should have been. The Crips are just gangbanging Dracula, and Van Dien's like, well, all right, if you're still fighting him, I mean, you may as well set him on fire. That'll probably do it.
But the worst part about this is that they do set him on fire, and then how do we see Count Dracula die?
We don't!
None of this matters. The only thing that matters is when Dallas and Nico and Natasha Lyonne leave the bar.
Yes. Just Paul, jump. I am convinced that is why you picked this movie.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, apparently.
When they leave the bar...
What? Yeah, go on, Chris. What the fuck is this?
Creep Van Dien... kisses Nico, kisses Natasha Lyonne, and then Nico also kisses Natasha Lyonne, cementing their triad.
Well, why don't you take me with you?
What about your gal pal?
She can come.
Which we should probably point out, because the last time we talked about her, she was bleeding out in a van. She shows up in the end as a vampire, which means she probably got it on with Nico.
Everybody's a fucking vampire.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Wait, how did Natasha turn into a vampire?
Because she probably did it with Nico.
Huh?
I think that's what it was. Transmitted through huffing. Huffing the paint. See, that scene was important.
Well, okay, if that's the case, there's like 10 more vampires out huffing paint.
Yes. Well, yeah.
All of them shared the same huff paint.
You know what? Just who gives a shit? Rating time.
Rating time.
Love it. Paul, fucking boss move. Fucking Count Dracula boss move.
Just, what do you mean, bursting into flames and running off screen without any sort of pomp or circumstance?
Yeah, Creep Van Dien says, do one, two, then three. We see the aftermath of one and then nothing else.
Did we also mention the Crips are vampires?
And Van Helsing.
And Van Helsing is a vampire.
Everybody becomes a vampire.
Oh, yeah, wait, what happens to Van... Oh, wait, yeah, we got to talk about what happens to Van Helsing here.
Hey, wait, okay, but then hold on. We got to reverse the ratings thing, though. We got to get out of ratings real quick. Perfect. All right, so how does this movie end, guys?
Van Helsing's a vampire.
Rating time!
Let me...
All right, we're back to rating time again.
Rating
Fuck
time.
It. Fuck it.
All right, Fuck fine. It. I'm not going to. All right.
Wait, this Paul, is it important to you? Should we go back?
No, I don't give a shit.
Should we go back? Paul, should we go back?
If you care that much, watch the movie. You know what? Here's what we'll do. After we're done with the episode, while Chris is still recording, he can tell us what happens to Van Helsing.
Okay, perfect.
It'll
be like a post-credit sequence, if you will.
Exactly. I want to open up the floor here. Does anyone have any suggestions for what the rating system should be?
Plum and Juicy Little Misters.
Juicy Little Misters?
Oh, you're such a plump and juicy little mister.
What was it, Chris? We didn't even really talk about that scene.
Oh, who cares?
Oh. I can't even say it. Plum and Juicy Little Misters.
All right, Jay, go Juicy ahead. Go mister. First.
I gotta go first. I don't want to go first.
Oh, shit.
All right, fine. I'll go first. Okay. So much of this movie could have been cut. So much of the cast was underused.
I don't know if I like the vibe of this. Well, let's have Mike go first.
Whoa!
I don't know, Jay. Don't bring me down
just
here.
Let it happen, all right? I'm first now.
Oh, I'm going to let it happen, but you don't want me to go because you're afraid I'm going to bring you down and you're going to give it to Mike?
Hey, Jay! Jay!
I'm going to go ahead.
So much of this film could have been cut. So much of this cast is underutilized.
God damn it.
Like,
thank you.
There are so many talented people involved working on this film, and I have to believe that some fucking TV show studio just fucking pissed all over it.
Who knows?
But the problem is, there's not enough action in it to go for an action film. There's not enough skin in it to be a Skinamax film, even.
What?
Anytime there's sex, it cuts to the sky for some reason, and I don't understand that. Like, at least let me see those soft bodies grinding. Come on.
All right. I don't know if I like the vibe of this. Jay, go ahead.
What?
You know, every time there was a sex scene, they cut to the sky for some reason. So I don't know why they did that. There wasn't enough skin to be a skin flick and enough action for an
Mike,
action
say
flick.
It.
What?
Why did Nico have amnesia? Why did the mom thing happen? But, you know, there was a good cast.
Paul, I'm busy drinking Malort.
All right, Chris, go.
All right, you know what? Every time there's a sex scene, they cut to the sky. There's so much that does not make sense about this movie. But god damn it, the cast is amazing. There's just so many little things that go, like, that just fly under the radar, you know, until you do a rewatch or you're like, oh, wait, what was that? And just hit rewind and just watch it again.
Did you watch, how many times did you guys watch this?
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fuck that.
Okay. Yeah. No, once
I'm
going to
say, while I have the floor.
Yes.
I'm going to say, man, every Richard Elfman movie we've watched, I mean, we saw Forbidden Zone at one of our marathons a few years ago. Loved it. Shrunken Heads. I really enjoyed Shrunken Heads.
Hell yeah. It was
pretty great.
Yep.
So I got to say, I like this one, like, way more than Shrunken Heads.
Wow. The fuck?
Like,
what?
Oh, my God. Like, okay, it's no Forbidden Zone, but I am all in on anything Richard Elfman makes. Uh-huh. Holy shit, this was fucking great.
What?
I loved this movie. I'm not going to put it in, like, the super, like, rare level of, like, say, Manborg or something, but oh man, I've totally bought into this movie. This movie was great, especially once they hit the club scene. Fucking amazing. Loved it. And everything from then on, just so many, just, it's just ridiculous. So much stupid crap happens, and I loved it. Oh my God. So, Did we settle on a rating scale?
Yes, are we going did. With
the plump little misters.
Wait, what was the full thing?
Plump and juicy little misters.
Yes.
Oh, you're such a plump and juicy little mister.
So I'm going to give this 89 plump and juicy little misters.
Nice.
Wow.
To anyone who can't see this.
I enjoyed the hell out of this movie.
To anyone who can't see this, and that is the entire world minus three people. Jason Holse's hands are smashing his head right now. He cannot understand what is happening.
Listen, Mike, you're the one who gave the Incredible Bulk like a 100. Come on.
I did not.
All right, Jay, what's your score?
65.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And that's being generous.
Mike, say it.
$49 plump and juicy little misters.
Oh my God, you people, I cannot believe I'm friends with you.
Fucking Shrunken Heads was infinitely better than this.
Oh,
holy shit.
No kidding.
I will watch anything Richard Elfman does, but fuck me, this was boring. Shrunken Heads, though, hell yes. Hey, Paul, what did you think?
I guess there's just two schools of thought here, and I'm in firmly, obviously, in Chris's school. I thought it was fun. I mean, the entire time, you know, like, the type of B-movies that I usually enjoy the most are the type where the entire time I'm going, what the fuck is happening right now? And fair. Say what you want about this movie, but that was definitely the case for most of Modern Vampires, so I'm just going to go with a solid 85.
Oh, you're such a plump and juicy little mister.
Nice.
Right. I mean, yeah, nice score.
Okay.
If nobody else came up with anything, I was going to go with 1 out of 100 custom-built vampire tables that allow you to feast on a human head. So.
Plump and juicy little misters is a little more concise.
You can discuss that more on our spinoff show, Rejected Ratings.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Jay, I believe you're up next. Let's not waste any time. What do you got for us next time on B-Movie Mania?
You know, one of my favorite B-movies is now streaming.
Ooh.
And yeah, I'm not hiding it. It's one of my favorites. We have watched it at a marathon, so this is the second time.
Oh.
Showgirls 2.
No.
It is not Showgirls 2.
Thank Christ.
You.
God.
My pick is going to prove that you can't keep a good cop dead.
Oh, yeah.
I am excited to talk to you guys at length about Dead Heat.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Dead Heat.
Oh, hell yeah.
On Amazon Prime.
Oh, man. I love you. I think did I introduce you to that one, Jay?
Yes, you did, Chris.
Oh,
yes, you did.
Yes.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
T-shirts! 5-star ratings!
Why, Chris, why did you shout that?
Because we were arguing about Jay's pick.
No, you're supposed to fucking segue into the fucking sales pillows.
Oh, because I said that because we have t-shirts for sale. We have 5-star reviews for sale.
Wait, what? Review? No. We're not paying anyone to rate us 5 stars.
Mike, talk about t-shirts.
Okay, so in 1742, someone invented a t-shirt. And it was what? Great.
Okay, we're not on the dollop.
No, that would involve racism if it was the dollop.
The
anyway.
T-shirt is a style of fabric shirt named after the T-shape of its body and sleeves.
Exactly. Ooh. See?
Traditionally, it was short sleeves and a round neckline, known as the crew neck.
Good night, everybody.
Which lacks a collar.
That's
T-shirts
beautiful.
Are generally made of stretchy, light, and inexpensive fabric and are easy to clean, and we sell them on our website.
Yes, we do. We have a bunch of new custom designs about the episodes. Slade, what's his name? Slade Craven?
Slade Craven. Slade Craven. Slade Craven. I've got my Slade Craven shirt right now.
Oh,
don't
yeah,
forget about Crank and Rankin.
Crank and Rankin.
Crank and Rankin from Green Slime.
We're just picking names for people.
I just got to say, I love my new t-shirt.
That is available. We also have... Hey, we also have sweatpants available as well.
Yeah,
that you can get, and they're very comfy, and they're not on your butt. So don't worry, they're just on down your leg. The design is down your leg. It's not a weird juicy butt thing.
It doesn't. So there's no like material on your butt.
No, it's not. Okay, so they're technically on your butt. We said we're not going to put like B-Movie Mania on someone's butt.
It's a little weird.
You know what I love most about our sweatpants?
What?
Oh, you know what? My daughter is here. I can't say it. So never mind. Never mind.
All right. Anyway, thank you for listening.
There she goes. There she goes.
Like right. She didn't hear you. Like she hasn't heard you this entire night.
She's going to go back to her brother and be like, Dad's a perv.
Yeah.
Probably.
Dad likes vampire porn clubs.
All right. Anyway,
well,
thanks for listening.
What I wanted to say is that our sweatpants have plenty of room. There's plenty of space for your penis or vagina, so you can appreciate them for men or women.
If you've got that protruding vagina.
All right, so thanks for listening. Anyway, thanks for checking out shirts. Thanks for rating, reviewing.
You really need a lot of room in there for
it. We're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram, and we're on Twitter. Check it out. We love to follow us. We love interacting with you. If the quarantine's still going on, we've been hanging out at fuckcovid.party on Sundays.
That's an expensive spit.
If it's not going on, maybe we'll stream anyway. Anyway, we love you all. I'm sorry that these guys are quietly, thank you, Paul, for editing them down, yelling in the background. We love you all. Stay safe. And good night.
I think you can get a $5 spew at the sex club.
$5 spew.
That's the next t-shirt you can buy. $5 spew.
All right,
at the vampire club.
Let's go to my Night Beast commercials. The $5 spew.